This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We have all kinds of things. We're going to talk about institutions, the Secret Service, all kinds of corruption and ugliness in the federal level. A poll that's a bit of a jaw dropper, and much, much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I should also note here at the convention where I am, you can't see it, but I have all these credentials. They're around my neck, although I can't find them. Yeah, I have these credentials, and there's media credentials, and then there's credentials. I actually haven't really looked at a lot of them, but my one media one says radio and TV. So I'm really important. I just want you to know that I'm a very, very big deal. Talked to the wife right before the show. I asked her if we could get a portrait of me with these credentials hanging around my neck, a portrait painted of me that could hang in the room. I guess we had some shoddy cell phone service or something because it went blank. The call went dark after that. But either way, we'll see how it goes in the Kelly home. Now let's discuss the Secret Service, institutions, accountability, things like that. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle's her name. She is somebody, everybody knows her name now. And she's someone who's, well, getting a vote of confidence from the Biden administration.
Does the president have confidence in the Secret Service director after Saturday's failures?
I have 100% confidence in the director of the United States State Secret Service. I have 100% confidence in the United States Secret Service. And what you saw on stage on Saturday with respect to individuals putting their own lives at risk for the protection of another is exactly what the American public should see every single day. It is what I indeed do.
Okay. He's got 100% confidence. I mean, president doesn't turn his head, then his brains are still being mopped up off a stage in Pennsylvania, but he's got 100% confidence in it. Okay. Kimberly Cheadle herself, she dropped this little line on this. I love this one.
Who is most responsible for this happening?
What I would say is that the Secret Service is responsible for the protection of the former president.
So the buck stops with you?
The buck stops with me. I am the director of the Secret Service. It was unacceptable, and it's something that shouldn't happen again.
The president and Homeland Security Secretary said today they had 100% confidence in you, but there are some members of Congress calling on you to resign.
I appreciate the secretary's comments, and we're going to continue to be transparent and communicate with people.
You plan to stay on, absolutely.
I do plan to stay.
Hey, it was totally unacceptable. Buck stops with me. Okay, Are you going to stay on? Well, yeah. I mean, of course. Okay. Today, Chris, get cut four ready. Today, she went out there because she's having to ask some questions. Why a rooftop 148 yards away from the president was left completely naked with no one on it and no one looking at it. And this was her answer. Cut four, Chris, go.
Investigators now trying to determine whether roof access had been properly locked down. The shooter climbing up seemingly unimpeded, about 400 feet from the stage, with a direct line of sight on the former president.
Should that roof have been secure, period?
That building in particular has a sloped roof at its highest point. And so, you know, there's a safety factor that would be considered there, that we wouldn't want to put somebody up on a sloped roof. And so, you know, the decision was made to secure the building from inside.
Cheadle says the Secret Service was responsible for the
stop. That's enough. Just stop. Why didn't you have anybody on the roof because of the shooter just climbed right up on the roof and he almost murdered Donald Trump, and he did murder someone in the crowd. And why didn't you have anyone on there? Oh, well, that's a safety issue. We didn't want to have to call OSHA. It was too sloped. And you can look at the pictures of it. It's not even sloped. You can look at pictures of people standing on it. It's the tiniest angle. Okay, so the excuses are ridiculous. Everything's ridiculous. Okay, so what's going on? Why won't she resign? Seeing all kinds of things today. Republicans demand she resign. Why hasn't she resigned? Why won't she resign? Well, look, let's have a chat about how corruption in institutions work. Institutions. Institutions, I talk about them all the time when it comes to our nation. Our nation, every nation has institutions. Doesn't matter, nation, whatever nation we're talking about, large or small, you will have institutions, you'll have an education system, you'll have a media system of some kind, a government system of some kind, a religion of some kind. Your nation will have institutions, okay? So that's what, on a bigger level, you can call those institutions. But let's shrink this down on a smaller level, because we're going to focus on the government, but we're going to focus on the specific institutions inside of the government. I couldn't possibly be less surprised. I know that's a double negative. Don't lecture me. I couldn't possibly be less surprised that Kimberly Cheadle's not resigning. Once institutions become corrupted, and they're not always corrupted. You have great institutions. But once an institution becomes corrupted, then it very oftentimes cannot be saved. Why? Because the institution views its only role in life as protecting the institution. You see, the FBI, remember when Christopher Wray got appointed director of the FBI? Trump put Christopher Wray in charge of the FBI. And remember what Christopher Wray said? It was a little obscure article. You might not even remember it. Remember what he said his role was? He said almost right away, my role is to protect the FBI. You want an FBI director to go in there and reform it. You're fired. You're fired. We're getting rid of this. We're getting rid of that. That's not how he looked at it at all. He looked at it. His job was to go into the FBI and guard the FBI. You remember, of course, you remember, we talk about it a lot on the show. After we got 13 of our warriors killed unnecessarily in Afghanistan, in response to that, we drone strike 10 innocent people. 6 of them were children. And you remember they did an investigation, of course, into how exactly did we murder 10 innocent people. And they said, well, no, we're fine. Look, it was a failure of process. No one's getting fired. In fact, we're not even going to reprimand anybody. That's what they said. And you were outraged. I was outraged. How could this be? There has to be accountability. But the military, it's included in this as well. The Pentagon included in this as well. Whenever they're met with controversy, with failure of any kind, they don't look at it, because it's been corrupted, they don't look at it like a problem that has to be fixed, a person that has to be fired, someone who has to resign. They look at it as, uh-oh, we're going to get criticized for this. Everybody shield up, hunker down, and we will guard ourselves. You keep holding out for some level of accountability from the institutions who run the country, but that accountability can never and will never come, because once an institution becomes corrupted, it views its only goal in life as protecting the institution itself. So if you're in the FBI, especially one of the big shots in the FBI, you don't ever really think about crime. Oh, you want to stop drugs or pedophiles or this or that. Those things, I mean, sure, you'll discuss them on a daily basis, but every single day when you're walking into the Hoover Building, you're walking into that building knowing your highest calling in life is guarding that building, guarding the institution itself. You're wondering why the head of the Secret Service, how in the world could you not resign in disgrace? Don't you have any honor? How could you not resign? We just almost lost the Republican nominee for president, almost got his head taken off because of embarrassing failures. How could you not resign? Well, why would she resign? She doesn't wake up in the morning and go to bed at night viewing her role as protecting presidents, former presidents, and big shot senators. That's how you think of the Secret Service, because that's what the Secret Service should be. Because it's now a corrupted institution like all the other government institutions, her role is simply protecting herself and the Secret Service. That's what happens when an institution becomes corrupted, and that's why they have to be completely eliminated. Corrupt institutions can't be reformed. They must be removed, period. We're going to talk to Senator Ron Johnson about that in a moment. Before we do that, I'm going to talk to you about something that is extremely serious. It might be the crisis we face here in this country, the testosterone crisis. You understand part of the reason these levels are going down so fast is we drink estrogen. It's in the water. It's in the water because there's so much birth control out there that gets into the water. And so it's in the water. We shower in it. We drink it. In 50 years, we've lost half of our testosterone level in the country. Try a male vitality stack from Chalk, gentlemen, whether you're 20 or 90. Natural herbal supplements. You take it for 90 days. 20% increase in your T levels. Gosh, you're going to feel so good. Your mind just works so much better. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call them or text them. 50CHOQ3000. We have Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Next.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show and you should, love, hate, death threats, whatever you'd like, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Joining me now, senator from the great state of Wisconsin, one we sit in now, who's an amazingly red senator for it being such a purple state, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, we were just talking about, okay, Secret Service. She says she's not resigning, Kimberly Cheadle. And it's just, it's more reflective of all of our institutions now in government. Once they become as corrupted as they are, they only exist to protect themselves. They don't exist to protect the president or FBI to solve crimes. It's only to protect the FBI or protect Secret Service. And that's why no one trusts them anymore.
Well, welcome to Milwaukee.
Thank you.
Well, you know, what has happened in the Biden administration is he has appointed so many department heads, agency heads who really aren't focused on the mission of their agency or department, but they're focused on DEI. And that's something we're kind of hearing about, Director Cheadle, as opposed to making sure that the protectees of the Secret Service are actually protected. There's no doubt about it. That was a massive security failure. And, you know, Congress doesn't have the specific investigatory capability of doing the detailed investigations. We have oversight. I've already written a letter demanding they retain all their records, they preserve them. I've a long list of questions, just as a starting point of an investigation. So we need to do the oversight. We need to demand 100% transparency, and we need to leave no stone unturned in terms of explaining what happened, because this is hard to explain.
Can you explain Wisconsin? I bet you can explain Wisconsin, because I find it to be so fascinating. Every time I come here, everyone seems normal and, you know, salt of the earth people, and the food's good, but then this place will go blue in a heartbeat. It'll go red, it'll go blue. I don't understand. Explain this place to me.
So Charles Krauthammer gave a speech at Kohler one time that I attended, and he started out, he said, "You hear Minnesota nice, I say Wisconsin even nicer. We're nice people." And so if you're a nice person, you're running for office, that appeals to people. And so not overly ideological, a lot of people aren't in Wisconsin. For example, Tammy Baldwin, now that Republicans decided to go against our resolution in terms of supporting earmarks, and we started earmarking again in Congress, Tammy Baldwin's brought home something like $750 million in earmarks.
Oh.
And she's, you know, I would be embarrassed, because, you know, I'm concerned that we're mortgaging our children's future. She's proud of it. So she's all around the state. Well, I got $1 million for this and $1 million for that. That's kind of hard to compete with.
Okay, so how does someone like you keep getting reelected when you, to your credit, don't play that game, because a lot of Republicans feel like they have to for just that reason. I feel like I have to get involved. I need a new Ron Johnson airport in town. How do you keep getting elected without handing out the goodies that's bankrupting the country?
Well, first of all, I'm not overly bombastic. And whether people agree with me or not, they realize that what I'm telling them is, I believe is true. So I'm genuine. And that also has value to Wisconsinites, so...
All right, so speaking of politics and bombastic, and the word unity and peace, it's being thrown around a lot, but what's the plan to get there as a nation, not as a Republican Party? Obviously, everyone's got unity and peace this week. We're all, you know, one big happy family around here this week, but for the country, I keep hearing unity and peace, and let's tone it down. When's that going to come? I don't see that coming anytime soon.
Well, it would come with leadership from both sides, but it would require both sides to do it. Now, with the left's idea of unity and healing is Republicans unilaterally disarm. Like, we stop blaming them for all their policy failures. We just sweep it all under the rug. We give them political cover on this stuff. That's not going to happen. You know, I don't want to personally attack people. I wouldn't do what, like, for example, President Biden did on a fundraising call. Said we got to put Trump in the bullseye. Now, can you imagine if that would have been a Republican office holder and any media caught wind of that telephone conference call with the donors, that a Republican was talking about putting a Democrat in a bullseye? I mean, we saw that happen with Sarah Palin. I mean, it was major news. Not a peep. And even after the assassination attempt, I don't think the mainstream media is talking about that.
No, they're going to drop this whole assassination thing like a hot potato. Okay, so look, I'm going to ask you one more thing. I'd hate to play the prediction game, but after all this, it feels like the calls to remove Biden have stopped. Or maybe they're just resigned to the fact they're stuck with him. Maybe they're resigned to the fact whoever they put up may not fare that well. But it almost feels like Biden's staying. I can't believe I'm saying that. Do you think that?
I don't know. I mean, I've been saying since last summer I had a hard time believing he'd be their candidate. I mean, yeah. Democrats generally are smarter than that politically. But they pretty well cleared the field for him. Relatively corrupt primary process, completely excluded RFK Jr., so now he's got the votes. And if he wants to stay, and it sure seems like Dr. Jill wants to stay, mm-hmm. I can understand where Hunter would kind of like his dad in there to get if not a pardon, how about commuting my sentence?
Yes.
Okay. And listen, you know, I've said, you know, Biden's probably like Gollum clinging to the golden ring, right? if he wants to stay, and it sounds like he wants to, I don't know how they pried away from him.
I don't know how they do either. Senator, I appreciate you very much.
Thanks. Nice seeing you in person.
Thanks for stopping by. All right. So it's time to dig into this poll that came out. There's a poll that came out. Morning Consult did a poll. And it was a post-shooting poll, post-assassination attempt poll. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, surely the American public is at least kind of on the same page about this whole thing. You have some radical nut job leftist kid, 20 years old, goes crazy, feels like Trump's the Antichrist, gets up on top of roof, tries to kill him. You would think the country kind of aligned after that, that of course all that's bad and a lot of that blame needs to fall directly on the left. Well, here's something for you we're going to dig into. According to this poll, 38% of the country blamed Trump for the shooting. 35% blame Democrats, 31% blame the GOP, only 29% blame Joe Biden. A higher percentage of the country blames Trump for his own attempted assassination than Joe Biden. I know that's crazy and stupid and wrong, but there's something bigger we can talk about. We'll do that next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you if you missed any part of the show, which I couldn't imagine you ever would do such a thing, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You should also know that Jewish producer Chris has not been very nice since I've been in Wisconsin. He knows that I do miss the Mexican food. He's already bragging about all the tacos he's eating and things like that. Well, guess what, Chris? I had a bagel this morning. I bet you didn't have a freaking bagel. I found a Jewish deli, and I walked in, and I got some Jewish food. So take that in your stupid face, Chris. And it was delicious. One of the better ones I've had. Now, back to what we're talking about. After something terrible, we're used to coming together after something terrible. And we're used to things, if you want to look at high notes and low points in American history, we're used to those highs and lows creating a spirit of unity, of patriotism, of things. Look, if you want to go clear back, things like World War II. World War II kicked off. Any old documentary or book you read, you see a spirit of national unity. National unity. Very, very little difference in it. Yes, there were still Republicans and Democrats back then with differences, but the nation, hey, we were attacked. Let's come together. We're going to have to ration this. We're going to have to work here. It's going to involve women in the factories. It's going to involve the nation came together, unified. Wonderful things. Landing on the moon. Landing on the moon. I was dead. I was not alive then. I wasn't born yet. But my folks, their folks, older folks I talked to about that, that was one of those moments where you went out and hung out with the neighbors after you watched that, and it was a celebration, not a Republican celebration, not a Democrat celebration. It was a celebration of America. Look what we did. We did something big. We did something awesome. Look at this. 9/11, another one of those low points. You remember where I was. I've told you where I was. I know you remember where you were. I was in my Marine Corps barracks room. And towers came down. We were attacked. Oh, my gosh, these dirty terrorist scumbags. And there was at least briefly a coming together. In the wake of Trump missing out on being assassinated by the turning of his head, morning consult poll, 38% of voters blamed Trump for the shooting. 29% blame Joe Biden. 35% blame Democrats. 31% blame the GOP. 1 in 5 voters say it's credible that the shooting was staged. Now, I know those are jaw-dropping numbers. And right now, you're probably sitting there wondering, how? Isn't that what you're saying? How? What? There's no way. What? More are blaming Trump. What? How? So let's talk about this. What is a nation, really? A country? A tribe? What is it, really? It's a group of people who share common values, and they choose to live together. They choose to create a corporation that's a nation. They choose to create a nation because together they are more protected. Living together provides protection. Living together provides prosperity. Hey, if you and me go out and pick the strawberries, then they can get a lot further than if it was just me picking the strawberries, that kind of a thing. Living together provides family, opportunities with family. If you're a single dude or one of the dimes living alone in a cabin in the woods and you never meet anybody, it's going to be hard to find somebody to marry and make babies with. No. But if you come together and you live with other people, one town, one neighborhood, one city, whatever it may be, when you're younger, you might just find a mate. And I know that is the worst possible way you can put that. I've been watching a lot of Animal Channel. You're going to have to bear with me, but you understand what I'm saying. That's why you come together. But if divisive forces have been at work in your nation for long enough, than what you have, what we already have, what you may not want to admit or what you may not even realize, but what we already have is separate nations within our nation. There is not a United States of America anymore in the traditional sense, the one that you've always known, the one that I've always known. That place does not exist anymore. This is a different place now. And let's once again pull up this little Yuri Bezmenov clip that we've played many times. If you want to know, if you want at least some understanding of how a higher percentage of the population could blame Trump for his own assassination attempt than Joe Biden, listen to KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov talk about what happens to a people who are demoralized.
Exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
He will refuse to believe it. But how could that be? How could we live in a country where I'm watching the exact same thing my liberal Aunt Peggy is watching, and at the end of it, I come down on the side of reality. I want to know who, where were the security lapses, who was the guy. I come down on the side of reality and facts and truth. She, at worst, believes it was a hoax that was staged, and slightly better than that, although not much better than that, she believes that Trump is himself at fault for that. How does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen all at once. It didn't just happen that day. This is what happens when a population has been convinced for years. Conditioned is actually a better way to put it than convinced. When a population has been conditioned for years to believe lies and reject truth, then it doesn't matter what happens. They can never, ever, 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 ever come down on the right side of something because they don't know up from down, left from right. These are concepts that have been taken from them after years and years and years of conditioning. I'll put it to you this way. This is the best way I want to put it. What if I was super fat, overweight? I let myself go 350 pounds and I'm facing diabetes. But I had never, ever, ever learned about diet or diet improvements or reducing this or reducing that. I'd never been taught any of that. And so I keep getting this horrible diagnosis. You've got diabetes, you got to take insulin, you've got to do this, you got to do that. And I want it to stop, and I keep switching medication and this medication and that medication, but I never change my eating habits at all, at all. Every day it's just donuts and tacos and bagels and everything else. Well, it doesn't matter how much medication I take. My life will never change. I will never lose the weight. I will never dump the diabetes until I finally learn the truth about some of the things that cause it. Meaning, if I start out heading the wrong direction, it doesn't matter whether I'm going fast or going slow. I'm never going to end up in the right spot. And that's where we are as a country. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about some other things. In fact, I want to get to some emails. First, I want to talk about your cell phone. Talk about the wrong direction. We're getting much better at this, but we have had this terrible way of thinking on the right that we should just, buy whatever from whoever, whatever good, whatever service. After all, we love business, right? Businesses are always good, when in fact businesses are more responsible for the condition of this culture than anyone else outside of the education system. Businesses, they've chosen to get involved. We have to choose to get involved and fight back against corporate America now. How do you do that? Well, with your money. No, you don't have to go picket in front of the corporate office and chain yourself to the door. Why don't you just switch who you have your cell phone with? You don't need Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Pure Talk is right there. Pure Talk It's the Patriotic cell phone company. Their CEO's a veteran. Their customer service, all of it. Not just based in America. They're Americans. When you pick up your phone and you dial #250 when you say Jesse Kelly, you'll actually speak to an American who speaks English. 10 minutes on the phone. That's it. 10 minutes. You keep your phone. You keep your number. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly and switch to Pure Talk today. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Do not forget, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Did you see Morning Joe threw a little hissy fit? And I actually can't say I blame him. So Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, he's that weapons-grade loser that does that show with Mika, whatever, I don't know how to say her last name, on MSNBC. And it sucks, and they say a bunch of stupid stuff every day. Whatever, they're communists, that's what they do. And they yanked his show off the air yesterday because you knew him and that hag, they were going to go on there and say something that was going to get MSNBC sued about something. So they pulled him off the air and gave some lame excuse. And Scarborough, man, I think Joe and I need to have a talk. Joe goes on the air today on MSNBC and just absolutely throws a tantrum over the whole thing.
Obviously suited up and ready to go for yesterday morning on a big morning, and we're told that something else was going to be broadcast. So we are here today going through a lot, catching up a little bit, but we want to be here for our audience, and we know you trust us, and we have ultimate respect for you guys. So we are here today. I wish we'd been here yesterday.
Yeah, we all wish we would have been here yesterday. We'd like to figure out exactly why there wasn't that one news feed.
And I think the reason why is this show began and continues 17 years later on being the place where you can go to have the hard conversations in a civil way. And so it seemed like now
Joe and Mike have had some hard conversations.
Whenever is a day, a time that we would like to be on, and I think our viewers agree with that. So we continue. We are 5 minutes past the top of the hour.
No, and let me just say, next time we're told there's going to be a news feed replacing us, we will be in our
chairs.
We'll
be sitting here.
Yeah, and the news feed will be us, or they can get somebody else.
Or they can get somebody else. Joe, look, I don't like you, but I'm going to be nice right now because I'm a very nice, kind person. Everyone says that. So, Joe, I'm just going to help you out for a second. Joe, you don't have any talent, buddy. No talent. You know how I always say what determines how much money you'll make? You know what I usually say? The scarcity of your marketable skills. That'll determine how much money you make in this life. How many people can do what you do? If a lot can do it, you're not going to make very much money. If not very many can do it, and it's a marketable thing, you're going to be filthy rich. You know, we all complain about, I can't believe the quarterback makes $40 million a year. Yep, I agree. That's a lot of money. How many people can throw the ball 100 yards and drop it into a coffee can? Not very many. So that's why he makes $40 million and I don't. So the scarcity of your marketable skills. But what's another way of saying that? Here's another way of saying that. You're worth what it costs to replace you. That's what you're worth. It's what you're actually worth. Joe, buddy, your show's not good. You have a show because MSNBC is a disgusting network and they needed some communist, quote, former Republican to do the former Republican thing. But it's not as if you have anything interesting and remotely entertaining to say. I don't think anyone's ever laughed while watching Morning Joe unless they're laughing at Micah's haircut. I don't know that anybody's ever laughed. So I don't think you should be threatening management. Just a personal opinion. That's on you, though, Joe. Also, Joe Biden, I played this one earlier, but he's got more.
But I didn't plan on running because when I, in 2020, when Barack asked me to be vice president,
Back in 2020, when Barack asked me to be a vice president, and this one, I love this one. You know, Joe Biden, he's given this Secret Service thing some serious thought.
Is it acceptable that you have still not heard, at least publicly, from the Secret Service director?
Well, I've heard from him.
I've heard from him? Is that what he just said? I've heard from him? Well, I wonder why he thinks it's a him, considering supposedly he's the one that chose her.
Who is most responsible for this happening?
What I would say is that the Secret Service is responsible for the protection of the former president.
So the buck stops with you?
The buck stops with me. I am the director of the Secret Service. It was unacceptable, and it's something that shouldn't happen again.
The president.
You know what else is unacceptable? Giving your dog regular dog food every meal. That's freaking unacceptable. You know the dog food, what color is your dog's food? What color is it? It's brown, isn't it? Did I know that just because I'm the Oracle? No, that's only part of the reason. I knew that your dog's food was brown because all dog food is brown. And did you know why dog food is brown? Because it's all freaking dead. I don't care what kind of, well, this is the special shrimp salmon barbecue mixture. No. They killed all that at the factory. You have the brown leftovers. You might as well feed your dog lumps of coal. Please don't feed your dog lumps of coal. But you should pour Rough Greens on your dog's food or coal, whatever you happen to be feeding them, because Rough Greens is the natural nutritional supplement that'll help your dog live longer and live healthier. Go get a free bag of it. Free Jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com/Jesse is where you go do that. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Now, let's do some emails. Jesse, oh, I just hit the microphone again, Chris. Chris, I don't want to hear any complaining. I'm over here roughing it. I'm roughing it over. It's not that I do it all the time. I talk with my hands. Maybe you could get me one of the headset things, like have you ever seen those motivational speakers like Tony Robbins or a pastor at a mega church or something, so they can walk around and use their hands? Why haven't you got me one of those, Chris? I can't be tied down to a desk. Jesse, what are your thoughts on language leading to cultural changes? Let me explain. What I have seen is retaliation against people who say certain things the left doesn't like, so you hear less of it. But that doesn't mean people have actually changed their position or feelings on it. They keep it to themselves. We end up with a society afraid to say what they really think. How does this benefit the left? Well, allow me to explain. The left is not worried about popularity. They're worried about power. Those things are different. And the right conflates those things into being the same when they're not at all the same thing. Power and popularity are different things. Drill that into your head. Power and popularity are different things. The communist, look, he wants you on his side fighting for him. That would obviously be preferred. But if he can't have that, he's okay with that. As long as he stops you from fighting against him. Because he knows, remember, he is a revolutionary. And I don't say that in the normal way I say it, meaning the communist is used to being a minority. He's used to being a small percentage of the population. He's never the majority. And so after over 100 years of that, he's learned to operate as the minority. The minority doesn't necessarily need you to join his side because he's not focusing on numbers. He just needs you to leave him alone. Just kind of keep quiet about it. Hey, you don't want to be yelled at, right? That's how he looks at things. I'll explain this in a little bit more depth next hour, right? We still have an hour. I think it's just going to be you and me, so we'll spend some time and have some fun, all right? Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.